Of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. It's March 9th, 2003. Stay with us.
The homeland, our problems, for only one reason. That president raises the question, who wants a ranch? The homeless, our problem, for only one reason. Our president raises the question, who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be 90 million dead Indians? Who owns the land? Could it be 6 million Jews? Who owns the land? Is there a connection? Who owns the land? To our imperialism? Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me? Who owns the land? I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? This morning I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to sleep. This morning I was awoken by a man with a handgun. He's got a book of rules that says I ain't got no right to be. Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Who owns the land? Could it be that there's a connection? Who owns the land? To my daily eviction. Who owns the land? And the extermination. Who owns the land? Of the Native American. Who owns the land? Won't someone please tell me? Who owns the land? I am just a white man. Who owns the land? I live in the Americas. Who owns the land? How did I get here? Its own self. Maybe it's a Native America. The homeless are a problem for only one reason. My president raises a question, who owns the land? The homeless are a problem for only one reason. Your president raises a question, who owns the land? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is home? Ecocide, genocide, where is
home? And welcome again to Bathrob Spears Broadsides, a twice-weekly show on civil rights on the streets in Santa Cruz, as well as, of course, in the current crisis of essentially a kind of presidential dictatorship or congressional cowardice or, who knows, solidarity behind a selected rather than elected leader who is defying the world, defying the UN, essentially. He's prepared to do that and ready to move in and invade another country that is not a threat to this country in any direct or clear or evidenced way, at least certainly not any more than any of the other countries out there, provoking a kind of response that will most likely unleash a greater threat. We're talking about, of course, Bush's war in Iraq coming up. We're going to be discussing that. Before we do, however, I'm going to try to get in touch with some folks downtown who have been for the last almost, I guess, 44, 45 hours vigiling and protesting in a visible way against that war. And that's the Vigil Against Two Wars, which has been going on downtown since, gosh, Friday noon. And let's see if we got somebody on the line here.
Hello?
Hello. Have I reached the Vigil Against Two Wars?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, and who is this?
This is Chelsea.
Hey, Chelsea.
I am still here.
You are. Well, how long you been there now?
So TJ. TJ's also still here. I've been here since... that's freaking me out. The radio's, like, right next to me. I've been here since about 6 last night, maybe? Yeah, I think 6.
Wow, so you've been going around the clock for about 14 hours,
uh-huh.
15 hours.
Yeah.
And you did the same thing last night, right?
Mm-hmm. And we've had people here who have been here since we started on Friday at noon.
Uh-huh. Where is the vigil?
People have been here the whole time. Cooper and Pacific.
Cooper and Pacific. That's near O'Neill's Sports Shop?
Yeah, and we've got coffee and food and tea out here. Is this for anybody? We've even offered it to people who come by here, like, maybe don't support our movement. You want some coffee? Anybody? Welcome to anybody.
You're the downtown street coffee distributor?
We're the downtown, well, you know, we're not just out here to distribute coffee. You know, we're out here against the two wars. The one in Santa Cruz against the poor, which is making city ordinances. Sorry, I'm
kind of
tired.
I hear you. You are pooped. You know, I understand you have somebody there who actually has suffered recently from the sleeping ban. He had his vehicle towed. Is
yeah,
that right?
Where is he? What's his name again?
You know, I don't.
Where is he?
He's funny. He really wanted us to call in, and now he's kind of walked off for a couple minutes.
Oh gosh. Well, if he comes back, I know he mentioned briefly when I stopped by that he said his vehicle had been towed, and he. That essentially it concerned the crime of sleeping, and you've had a couple
yeah, well,
of...
Yeah, well, I can tell the story.
Go ahead,
him.
Please.
The thing is, this guy's... he's an old guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Diabetic. He needs his medicine. He lives in his van, right? I guess he's had his license suspended, but, you know, it's his home. I guess some people were threatening him for where he was parked, saying that he ought to move his car, and so he really had no choice. He jumped in his car to just move it across the street or down the street or something, and that. I guess they called it on him. The cops came and towed his van, his home.
Oh, for a drive?
Took his home away with all of his medicine and everything in it. And so this guy has nothing now. He doesn't even have his medicine. As a diabetic, it's a pretty serious thing.
Driving on a suspended license after they forced him to drive, that sort of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then stealing his home and all of his things for it. Yeah, it's kind of an awful thing, but... position that people are stuck in here.
Now, last night, as I understand it, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, including the Armory, which will be soon closed, had only 160 spaces for 1,000 to 2,000 people. Did any people sleep at the vigil last night?
I'm not going to say any names, but, yeah, we had a lot of people sleeping here. It's kind of become a safe zone, and that's what we're out here for people who are... in this position where they have no safe place to go without getting their things, their medicine, their lifeline, just taken, ripped out from underneath them. I mean, we're trying to establish a safe zone for these people. And, you know, if we have to come out here on the street, right in the middle of everything and do it so people see what's going on, then that's exactly what we're out here to do.
Now, so far, how have the police treated the vigil?
They've been entirely supportive. I really have to, yeah, they're getting kind of fed up with the chalking. We still have people chalking out here. We're really trying to regulate it, though, because,
Chalking? You mean, like, chalking with erasable chalk on the sidewalk?
Mm-hmm, which is a crime in Santa Cruz. We've gotten, so far we've gotten over $800 in tickets among our group here, and the police have come by and said, you know, we're supportive of what you're trying to do here, trying to promote peace, whatnot, but if you keep up the chalking, we're going to shut you down.
Oh, really?
So we've been trying to regulate the chalking. just because, you know, we don't want them to shut us down. We want to keep on going here. We think that this law against talking is a little out of control. We don't exactly support it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not your fault if they chalk. You know, although I understand some of that chalk has come from the table, table that you're at. But
We also have a peace scroll out here. We have chalk, crowns, markers.
A peace scroll.
Peace scroll, and you know, we aren't stopping people from taking anything. Everything we have out here is for the community to share. If they want to use our chalk to draw it on the sidewalk, we aren't regulating what people are doing. We're recommending that they don't.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Now, I know you're real tired, but when I came by last night, you mentioned to me that there's an event that's going to be happening today, and I guess two events, one at 11 o'clock at the town clock, and then one, I guess, later this afternoon at San Lorenzo Park.
I don't know too much about the one at the town clock, but I believe they have breakfast there.
There's a breakfast at Loudoun Nelson Center every Sunday at 11. The Potter's Hand puts it on, but I think the town clock is something about goddesses getting together.
I'm just getting confused.
Yeah, you're tired. You're pooped.
I have it right here, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's a festival with singers and dancers and music, it looks like.
And when is that?
Just today at 11 at the town clock.
Uh-huh. So
we've also got another one, affinity group. It's just kind of a direct action training kind of workshop and stuff with a little picnic. San Lorenzo Park at noon at the Duck Pond.
Huh.
People bring food and stuff, would be nice, I'm sure.
And this information, all this is on your table, I guess, and anybody who wants to lead literature can do that, is that right?
Yeah, I can everything.
You sound like you better hit the sack there, kiddo. I know that Olivia has also been a big mainstay of this vigil. Is she there to do any talking?
Olivia has been our lifeline here. I don't know if I would even be out here still. If it wasn't for Olivia, I'd be dropping by now, but, yeah.
Well, I know we heard from Olivia, like, last week or the week before.
Right.
Olivia? Hello?
You want to talk?
Hello?
Hi, Robert.
Hey, Olivia.
How's it going?
We're getting a lot of echo, but we're doing good.
I'm trying to walk away. Is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
So
I had to walk away. Sorry.
I know that you are kind of the backbone, I think you're the backbone, one of the backbones.
Well, no, Chelsea, there's a lot of us. We're all part of this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're all connected. We're all holding it all together. None of us would be here without the other, so, including yourself. Now, come on, give yourself some credit.
Hey, I'm the greatest. I know that. So you've been down there a lot, and I know you brought some food down this morning. Is that what's happening, or...?
Yeah, I just, I had to get some downtime. My body sort of took over and said, it's nap time. But anyway, yeah, I'm back today trying to get some of the kids that have been here since, like, over 40 hours, trying to get them to go home and rest for a while, you know, because if we're going to make it through the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm repeating words of wisdom I got from them. So it's all good. I think we have momentum going. We're getting a lot of support from local people. Food is, we have not ran out of food. We've purchased some, but it seems like we have not ran out. Just when we think we're about out, somebody will come in. A lot of people have outreach. We've had support, not in our name, just, they support us with a flag and have been coming. Joe from Not In Our Name has been here.
That's one way to know where you are, because you got this big blue earth flag down there at Cooper and Pacific, right?
And that's really, besides being greatly inspirational, that's caught people's attention. People have stopped where they might not have. I mean, I think we just are tapping in different people, and Joe has been here. He brought his coffee and homemade bread last night for the kids. And so I feel like it's community effort, and we're getting a lot of support. I mean, you know, there's a few that, you know, but we got to love them a lot. And generally 99.8, I feel, is really being supportive and, you know, are showing a lot of support and keeping us going.
Well, I know, even those who seem to don't agree. Hello?
I'm in the traffic now. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, even those who don't totally agree with the vigil, I think, are glad to have someone to argue with.
We've had some mind-blowing experiences just recently. Friday, we had this amazing conversation with a Marine. At first, he came by and kind of felt offended. And so that's, I'm actually working on a poster today just to show some support, but I haven't quite got it together yet. But he came up and kind of shook his head, and he started to walk off, and I said, oh, can we talk? You know, I think we can learn, you know, hopefully you can educate us. There's a lot of questions we have. And I also wanted to let him know I lost a brother in Vietnam, and that I might not agree with him going over there, but I support him. And I told him for what reasons, you know. And so we had an amazing growth experience, a conversation. And, you know, here he didn't even want to talk with us. He spoke to several of us and answered questions. And we ended with, well, we agreed to disagree, but we'd fight the right for any of us to have our speech. And that I asked if I could even pray for him because I knew he was going back. And I told him, besides the obvious, that it's not, you know, I didn't agree with the war, but that I did have the biggest problem I had with him walking back in there, that our government would send him over there. If he survives the bombs, he will come back dying of cancer from all the radioactive...
uranium-depleted weapons.
Yes, uh-huh. Laying around, so his tear fell down his cheek just then, and I said, can I hug you? And we prayed. Uh-huh. And so I feel like, besides connecting with people, I think it's important. And we also had an experience when I was tabling on, I believe it was Wednesday, with the Air Force military man. I think he was a sergeant. And we had a similar thing. He was a little more verbal, but he was open to talk to us, and again, educated in a lot of things we weren't clear on. And it's beautiful. So I feel like we're getting message out, and we're touching base with the warriors that are going out there.
Hmm. Well, I know you have a radio at the table, so anybody who wants to hear this fine show on Free Radio Santa Cruz can do that down at Cooper and Pacific across from the Cinema 9. Is that true?
Yes. I feel like it's... I think we're trying to be here on several fronts. I think mainly to bring attention to our fight against the war on our home front and abroad. But more importantly, I think, as my grandmother would tell me, and she was an elder in the Southern Ute Nation, was that the only hope that we have is education, to educate ourselves. Because the only time we fear and want to, you know, it's like fight or flight, or we want to destroy what we don't understand and we're threatened by. But if we get educated, and that's the only way we have a chance to survive or to evolve as human beings.
So you spent some time getting ready to prepare this vigil and signing people up, but mostly the vigil, though, some folks who've signed up have come down, has been folks who are sort of, who are on the street already and who've just decided that this is something good to support, even though they risk being targeted by police, I guess. Huh?
Yes, in fact, TJ's been here. I think he finally told me, Mom, I've made it to 40 hours and I just, my body just took over and I slept. I think he was on a mission, and he, just him being here, he's still here, bless his heart, but he said, Mom, I made it to 40 hours and his body just took over, and he said he took a nap, but I've been worried about that one. But they're warriors, you know, and he's been tabling with me all week before and standing out there all day with honk for peace and just talking to people. And he's also been, has a following now. He's brought a lot of kids on. I mean, I looked out the first night, and there must have been 12 homeless kids just soaring, you know. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Mm-hmm. What's happening.
What do you do when somebody comes by? I know that at one point somebody threw some water at the vigil, but that has been kind of infrequent, right?
It's been infrequent. In some ways, it's gotten more intense. It hasn't been as... It's been infrequent, but the intensity of it seems to... The closer we're getting to, you know... well, not that we ever stopped bombing, but you know what I mean. Declared,
we're getting to war, yeah.
Yeah, declared, quote-unquote, war.
Right, declared war.
It's getting to be more intense. So we actually, yesterday, it seemed like there was a couple of people that continue to come back and walk through and cursing, and we just threw love at them. And the kids, I mean, you know, the kids are feeling weary. I mean, we're talking you know, after a 24-hour period, and then we were tabling before then. So actually, the momentum's worked out. And I think that I did hear one of them step and say something negative back, and I just kind of said, well, you know, I'd be lying if I didn't have a tinge of that. But I think the way we're going to gain ground and get our message across is to fight it back with love, more love, tough love, and that's what we did. And it was amazing what came out of that. Some guy came out and looked like he was just coming for me in the middle of the road on Friday night, parked right in front of the theater, Santa Cruz 9, Cinema 9. Got off his truck and just seemed like he was charging towards me, and something about not being patriotic. And I said, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here, because I can't stand by and have our children being massacred over there, or our people, or our relations over there being massacred, and that's why I'm here. And I just bowed down to him, and he was like very aggressive. He came within a few minutes of inches of me, and I just bowed down to him. I said, I respect, I honor your feelings, but, and as soon as I bowed down to him, he just stopped in his tracks, and he didn't say another word, and he just became silent and got in his car. So there is power in killing them with kindness, and I think, I don't know, this is how I was taught to deal with things, so.
Well, I guess I hear you, and I respect that. On the other hand, I found myself wondering, because I know Bush wants the whole Middle East and the whole world to bow down to him, and I guess if everybody did, he wouldn't have to invade them. He could just sort of occupy.
When I say bow down, it's, I'm not saying bow. We're not bowing down to war. We're not bowing down for him to get blood on our hands and the blood of other people on our hands in his name. You know what I mean? That's not what we're doing.
Right, and I also I hear you, and I also think it's true that you know, Bush is a powerful. He has weapons at his disposal. He's a man in a position of power. Other individuals who are angry about this, you know, are just people like us who are, I think, misled by what's being said to them in the media and what's being said, what you know, we hear all the time. So I think your approach is great, and I think it touches people. They understand that, you know, they are not the enemy, we are not the enemy. The enemy are the, frankly, is war and the politicians who exploit this whole thing.
No, exactly. And I've mellowed with age. I had my radical days, and I spent some time. I have two children in both pregnancies. I spent some time in jail and Rocky Flats during the Vietnam War, even though I lost a brother there. And I was blessed enough to resolve that before he passed, and had money and had resources to get him into Canada. And he refused, but we at least were able to agree to disagree, and I did have some time before he passed, but on his third trip in, he passed on. So it does touch home, because I've had some of the soldiers say, well, I had a father, or I had a brother die in Vietnam, and I said, I lost my brother, and we were, you know, he was more like a father figure to me. And so I can relate, and I honor that. I honor our veterans. I think it's atrocious that we had an illegal war. They come back, and they're throwaways, and they're still on the street. You know, I can keep my stance, yet I can honor our elders and our warriors that came before us. You know, I think that this lies that we're getting on the TV and through media and through the government is like conquer and divide, and it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I think the tides are turning, and, you know, it's just evident to me.
You know, I'm wondering, you are, you know, a mainstay of the vigil, and the folks there have been there all night. Do you need more people to come down in the days ahead at that vigil?
Yes, where my concern is, I think basically we had on paper impressive amount of people, but actually the people that have actually... the handful that actually signed up have showed up, and they have done more than their share, and this is what I'm worried about. We have a homeless young man, TJ, that has been like 40 hours straight, and he's still here. He just dozed off, and he needs some rest, and we have Chelsea that, you know, she's a student, and I know her homework is piled up, yet she's talking about going home and have a nap, come back and try to feed some people. So I feel like we need to support that, their energy, their spirit, even whether it's only a couple hours, just to support them, their diligence, because we need them for the long run. We're trying to go for the long run. So anybody out there that has, whatever time they can give us is important, and we could use it. Even if they just come to hand out flyers, come and support. We have a lot. We have a scroll going with messages of, you know, when we have anything from poetry on them. Two families from the Middle East coming. I've had several families I met from the Middle East signing with their kids messages to us in gratitude for what we're doing. Excuse me, I'm a little overwhelmed, but it's a good thing.
Sure.
So, and we're also going to be doing a memorial service, and I'm not quite sure when. I believe that it looks like it may happen tonight, maybe early evening.
A homeless child died, a homeless infant actually died.
3 months. Not quite 3 months old, we lost.
That was last week, and that was Shannon's child, as I understand it.
Lillian's, Shannon's daughter, Lillian, and I was trying to write something. I write poetry, and it's sort of like therapy for me, and I was stuck. And it just felt like a wound. Finally, I got to the point last night that... someone left me a note on my door, and it said, "Do you know Bush's household living quarters is 50,000 square foot?" And then I thought of little Lillian passing away, and I had to try and imagine how many feet were in her car where her family lived with two children. I think she had two siblings, and that just hit home. You know, it hit home, and it shouldn't happen. And her life shouldn't be in vain. Her life shouldn't have been in vain. And I think, if nothing else, people will hear this and not stand for it anymore. It's just appalling that this happens in this county or anywhere in the world, a child should suffer.
You know, if the city makes it illegal for people to sleep at night and cover up with blankets and to use public spaces except for very, very limited parts of the sidewalk, makes it illegal for people to display their artwork downtown, if they make it illegal for them to leave their property, I guess you, on one occasion, had to go back to the police station four times in the course of 3 hours.
Four times, and I think the fourth time I almost passed out in the police department because of my health issues. I'm heat sensitive, and I just sort of let myself fall to the floor because I was on the phone when they were trying to give me the runaround, and I was fine. I just know what I need to do when I get like that. I either, you know, have to sit on the floor or I pass out. And they came out and kind of scared them, and I just said, well, you know, if you got me out here the fourth time, could I have a cup of tea or water? You know, I might as well be comfortable since I'm going to be hanging out here a lot today.
And you had to walk 7 or 8 blocks each time to and from the police station from downtown to pick up property that the police knew was yours, even though they kept taking it because you'd walked away from it briefly, or?
Well, it was pretty obvious to me. I mean, my kids say I'm a little naive, but this was pretty obvious to me. 4 times. Because they had been watching me, and this was just after I had started taking badge numbers and officer's name because they were harassing the kids, including my son, and that's when this started, like right after a few incidents they started doing that. And the thing is, all 4 times there were friends that had their hands on it, literally had their hand on my cart, so that they didn't have an excuse that it was left unattended. And what they were told was, can you tell me what's in there? Is it yours? Then you can tell me what's in there. If you can't, it's not yours. It's going to the police department. So you can tell her, this is the quoting them, you can tell her she could go down to the police department and pick it up. And the first 2 times it happened, they said that they sent me down there, and I was standing while the police officer called to see if my stuff was there. I got down there, and then they didn't have any idea what I was talking about. So it wasn't just a matter of having to go pick up my stuff. It was the whole... you know, they were messing with me, but I was ready for it. I mean, I thought, well, if I'm going to almost pass out in here, can I have a cup of tea? And, you know, I was making myself comfortable because I thought, well...
Imagine what would happen if some private person did this regularly to some other private person. What that would mean. That is a form of theft and harassment.
Well, not just that. I feel like because of my spiritual convictions and where I'm at in life, I've been to the point where it was all I could do to leave the house, and there was times I couldn't. And there's a lot of us that have filed through the cracks with mental health and physical issues and both. And so, this is like major. I mean, it's not just an inconvenience. It is invasion of privacy because they go through everything. I'm still missing some journals and just feeling like a police state, you know? And here I'm supposed to be in a free country. having my liberties, and I'm like, yet my children are on the street right now, and they're getting ticketed for leaning, for sitting too long, for, oh, don't they dare not take a nap on the sunny bench. That's just, you know, unlawful. And yet they're ticketed for what they call spanging, you know, spare changing, and not even aggressively, just these are homeless kids. Where else are they going to get the money to pay these ridiculous tickets, citations? I think it's 105 for the chalking, 105 for, one of the boys got 10 tickets in one day because their skateboard was leaning against like a bench, and he was right there, leaning against a telephone pole, leaning against a tree, and he was right there. You know,
the irony is there's no law against leaning, and so they're giving them, not only are they giving harassment tickets, but they're giving false harassment tickets. And, you know, what's really interesting is that at the vigil, the only tickets that have been given out, as far as I understand it, have been for chalking, I guess two of those because of the hot dog employee around the corner doesn't like your messages, and then three because Sergeant Jack McPhillips, who I talked to yesterday, apparently felt obliged to give tickets because he came upon the people in the act of chalking, though why that should make any difference when this law hasn't been used for 40 years until about a year ago downtown, and there isn't even a law against chalking, it's a law against defacing the sidewalk, which isn't, you know, erasable chalk sold across the street in Palace Art Stationery does not deface the sidewalk. And if you, we noticed when people came to clean it up, it takes all of, what, 30 seconds or less? I mean, you can clean it up with a brush and water.
I had 1 liter bottle, and I think because some things were written that we didn't write. You know what I'm saying? There were some things that, you know, I mean, we had a lot of people coming through here, and so we felt like we were taking responsibility for our area. So there was things written that weren't, like, things directed at O'Neill, like corporate whores, and we didn't agree with that, and that was in our writing. So the kids took the bottle. In fact, two of the kids, homeless kids and myself, somebody tagged the wall, like a pillar near us, and we scrubbed that clean. And yet they turned around and ticketed, 2 days I think they ticketed all the kids. I think I lost track. I think my last count was 4. I should have been ticketed. I actually was drawing in front of the officer, so now we have a new issue. It's derelict of...
selective enforcement.
Yes, mm-hmm. Because I had the chalk in hand, and I thought he just looking at me like, oh, no, don't go there. And I said, well, I need to step up, and I'm mom on the street, and I have to set an example. Here's the chalk. There's my writing. And I know they saw me because I had my back to them. Well, I saw them. I turned around to bend down and chalk, and they walked up, and I handed it to them, and I said, well, you know, I'm taking responsibility, you know, because the kids looked up to me, and I thought, well, if I'm going to do it, take responsibility for it, and I couldn't get them to do their job.
It's harassment, and it's interesting that the harassment that you were suffering because of your property and that people were suffering for sleeping and suffering in other parts of town has not happened as much at the vigil. Actually, it hasn't happened at all, just the chalking harassment.
Exactly.
And I think that's because you are together, you are standing up, and they are aware that if they start messing with you, they'll get a lot of publicity on them very quickly. That's one thing I'm thinking of. There also may be some sympathies for, you know, people standing up and protesting the war. Even in the police department, though, I suspect, you know, that's largely a Republican pro-Bush enclave, although I have no, you know, kind of inner
pipeline. Well, you know, the fact that we've been able to touch base with, we have touched base with firefighters, police, people of all walks of life, but the more impressive that I feel like has been a big positive of all this is the military. Mm-hmm. And I've actually had policemen that I recognize that are policemen on the street in regular clothes actually stopping and telling me that they appreciate what we're doing. They don't agree with the chalking and that's a nuisance, but that they do appreciate what we're doing and that we're acting responsible. We're cleaning up after ourselves. And we had to make a compromise Friday night because of the people that have apartments up here and the honking on the corner. And they came down and we talked because I appreciated that they didn't call the police and give us a chance as citizens to work this out. So we sat down with the kids, the homeless kids that were doing most of the walking with signs saying honk for peace, and we just came to a conclusion that they were okay with that happening till 10. So we stopped at 10, and very peacefully and very volunteer, the kids were in good spirits. So, you know, we can have our peace, yet we're doing our best not to, you know, I mean, we did not want an outdoor welcome on the mall, especially when you consider there's a lot of people in apartments on this, you know, avenue.
Sounds like they're honking right now, huh?
Yeah.
Honking for peace. Well, I know you also came to a special agreement with O'Neill's, that there would be a kind of a chalk-free zone in front of their door.
Yes. I guess if I had to visualize it, it's like a dime, like a half, like a V in front of their walkway door. We've agreed to respect that area, not to chalk at all, and not to tag the walls. And we literally, the kids and I, have cleaned since we started. Probably two sides of the wall were tagged by none of us. I don't know where we, you know, it's been a long run, so I can't watch it 24 hours, but we are keeping vigilant because we didn't want to be, since we're here, we're taking responsibility for what we're doing, and other people have tagged it. We didn't go there, but we cleaned it up.
We're talking with Olivia Brown Rabbit of the 24-hour, around-the-clock vigil against two wars down at Cooper and Pacific in downtown Santa Cruz across from the Cinema 9 Theater. What can people do to get involved? I mean, should they just come down? Should they call numbers? Should they do both? Should they go to bed? What should they do?